So what's really important right now is where the building is actually located, because buildings have to be in great submarkets right now. And the way that great submarkets are presenting themselves at the moment is that they are those mixed-use environments that employees want to be in order to have the most vibrant experience at work that they can.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. In today's episode, we're checking in with Julie Whelan, CBRE's Global Head of Occupier Research, on the firm's latest findings into how office space is being used today. Julie, nice to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Good to be here.
So let's start with the big picture. What are you seeing in terms of broad office occupancy trends at this time? And also, are you seeing geographic and sector differences and any indication that patterns are stabilizing?
So we have been tracking office occupancy very closely for the last few years. And what we see right now is that according to mainstream data, occupancy is hovering around 50% across the markets that this data tracks. And that feels anecdotally to be appropriate given the conversations we have with many clients. What's interesting, though, is that if you look at some of the larger urban markets like New York, like Chicago, like even Washington, D.C., they have been struggling recently. However, they have also reached pandemic era high occupancy rates just in the last couple weeks. So considering that we're in the summer period right now, that really says something, because occupancy tends to naturally swing lower in the summer. Austin is one area that has really historically been above the trend, but even their occupancy has trended down by almost 10%, again, because of that seasonal cyclicality. And summer, as we all know, kicks off earlier in Texas. So there are markets that continue to strive to meet average office attendance levels, and these are markets that tend to be heavily concentrated in industries that are generally behind the curve on return to office trends. So although I said that DC has recently made some trends in the right direction, they are still below average occupancy, and that's because they're heavily concentrated in government. Similarly, you have markets like San Francisco and San Jose that on average have lower occupancy, and that's because they're heavily concentrated in tech. So the industry segmentation is very important to follow. And then you look at days of the week. So people are largely choosing midweek days to be in the office. So if you look at what occupancy is doing midweek, it can be near 60%. And in some markets like New York and Chicago, midweek occupancy can be up around 65 to 70%. So that's really strong, and it shows you the segmentation in days of the week also. So you also asked, you know, are we close to steady state or are we stabilized? I think that you asked, and I would say that we're not stabilized yet, but I'd say we're closer to steady state than not. So this is where our survey data comes in, and we just ran a survey of occupiers over the last couple months. And nearly 40% of respondents to that survey are still striving to push their occupancy and their utilization of office space higher. So I would say that we absolutely still have room to grow in a positive direction for office attendance. And the last thing that I would mention that I find very interesting is that our data shows that employees around the world want more flexibility, but the degree to which that flexibility is actually permeating the market seems to be having a larger impact in the U.S. than elsewhere in the world that are really more back to normal than we are here in the U.S.
Interesting. Julie, in addition to the number of days spent in the office, what other facets of work life are evolving right now?
So as you mentioned, you know, the number of days spent in the office is the most discussed trend right now. But we see that there are a lot of other creative things that organizations are trying to do. But at the heart of every strategy is trying to allow for flexibility. So I would say any strategy right now that's being put in place is really trying to take into account what are the preferences of the employee, but also balancing that with what are the preferences of leadership, which can be tricky. And so there's a lot of organizations that are focusing right now on different ways to solve for where people work and also when people work. So a couple of the things that we've seen and that we talked about in the survey are allowing employees not just flexibility over days of the week, but also flexibility over the hours that they're actually in the office, or maybe implementing a rotating schedule for people to come into the office. And in some cases, although it is the minority right now, but I think it's a growing trend, we have organizations thinking about four-day work weeks. So depending on organizational culture, there's a lot of different things at play. And I also think that how you work when in the office is shifting, because a lot of organizations are moving away from assigned seating and they're moving towards unassigned seating. So this isn't necessarily around the flexibility of how you're working or when you're working or where you're working, but it really is the flexibility associated with your workplace itself. So employees themselves are kind of in a way having to transfer their flexibility and adaptability to the office and be willing to share space when they're there. And so this is often coming alongside a whole new set of design principles that is allowing people access to many different types of space to use when they're in the office. So they might be able to use some private spaces. They might be able to use some focus spaces, some social spaces, some collaboration spaces. This idea of sharing isn't just about coming in and having to share a traditional cubicle, because that can feel kind of inflexible. But it's really that employees themselves are gaining the flexibility to use all different types of spaces when they're in the office, which I think will ultimately provide them with a better experience than they had before.
Right. So what does all this flexibility mean in terms of the total space requirements that companies are looking to employ?
Well, space is shrinking, so we can't get away from that. We study very closely lease transactions from quarter to quarter. And what we know is that the average size of a lease transacted today is about 28% smaller than it was before the pandemic era. That's real-time data that is showing through, but it's also really consistent with our survey results. So one consistent question that we always ask is the size of your portfolio growing or shrinking, and to what extent? And so we have about more than half, 53% of organizations are telling us today that they plan to shrink their portfolio over the next 3 years. And most of them are anticipating about a 10 to 30% reduction in space. If you look at that in contrast to what's happened over the last 3 years, about 44% indicated over the last 3 years that they have already shrunk their portfolio. So there is portfolio contraction that has been underway, and we do expect that to continue. But what's really important to note in those survey results is that still nearly half plan to stay the same, if not actually grow their portfolios. So yes, we do have industries that are reducing for the most part, but there are also ones that are expanding. And you also have to look at industry segmentation here, because I would say that if you look at the industries that are contracting the most, it's actually the tech industry. And the tech industry was the darling of the office market for the decade leading up to the pandemic. So when you think about, well, why is the tech industry more likely to be contracting right now? It's really because they are the ones that really are instituting a more flexible way of working. They are very impacted right now by the economic slowdown. They had a very generous amount of space coming into the pandemic. So all of that coupled together is creating an environment where it's that industry specifically that is driving a lot of the contraction that we're seeing in the market today.
Can you touch upon the flight to quality trend that you highlighted in the spring Occupy Sentiment Survey? And what are some of the key amenities that are needed to attract and retain employees today?
Flight to quality is a trend that we see in every cycle, but it is absolutely more pronounced right now. And I think it's because organizations are really trying to provide the best experience for their employees, because they think that providing the best experience, they're going to be able to sustain the office, is really that central piece of their culture. So just to give you some statistics around this, over the last 5 quarters, the office market that has either been built or significantly renovated since 2010 has experienced positive net absorption. So in other words, there was more demand that went into that space than space that was added to the market, while the rest of the market that was circa 2010 or before has experienced negative net absorption. So no surprise that also the vacancy at that newer end of the market is lower than the overall market average. And that's saying something considering that a lot of new construction has been delivered to the market recently. That clearly shows just from a vacancy and or an overall absorption perspective that flight to quality is happening. Then you look into rents, and we track rents very closely and look at it according to tier of space. In both base rents and net effective rents, so net effective rents take into account all the concessions that landlords give, they're continuing to grow in the top tier of the market, whereas in the lower tier of the market, rents have fallen. And it's not only that top tier space is growing still and in the lower commodity space is shrinking in terms of rent values, but also in some cases, the rent differential between top quality and lower quality space has never been greater. That gap is huge. And so what that shows to us is that this idea of price sensitivity really does not exist for clients that are moving into this top quality space. They're willing to pay for great space. And if they're willing to pay for great space, though, that means that that space has to really differentiate itself from the market. And so the things that we're seeing that are differentiating this kind of trophy office space from either other Class A space are things like, is it in a great commute corridor? Does it offer wellness and sustainability features? Does it have shared building amenities such as meeting space? Because that's increasingly important to occupants that are shrinking their overall leased space. And as always, does it provide great food and beverage options? So these are things that are the kind of hallmarks of great buildings right now. But we're also very careful to warn right now that a great building alone isn't enough. So what's really important right now is where the building is actually located, because buildings have to be in great submarkets right now. And the way that great submarkets are presenting themselves at the moment is that they are those mixed-use environments that employees want to be in order to have the most vibrant experience at work that they can. And so it's important to note that even a building with the best characteristics in a less than desirable submarket is probably going to be challenged right now. But conversely, even a commodity space that's in a great submarket is probably going to be pretty resilient, because there's always going to be a tenant that's driven by price sensitivity. So very, very interesting story. Yes, between quality of buildings, but also between how buildings are faring from submarket to submarket right now.
Really interesting, Julie. Also wanted to ask you about the role of flex space and how that's developing and where it's most prevalent right now.
We like to call it agile space, and it is so important right now because real estate organizations have always had to plan for unknowns, and it's been difficult to plan 3-5 years out. But in a way, they're planning for more unknowns than they ever have before, because they still have to create strategies around things like business cycles. They still have to plan for organic growth or contraction. There's an increasing environment of M&As, but they also have to plan around unknowns that are frankly unprecedented around the future of work. And we just talked about the fact that a lot aren't even in a steady state yet, so they really don't have any idea what's coming at them. So flexible space plays a role in planning, especially for the element of these portfolios that are unknown. But flexible space or agile space or whatever we want to call it is really taking on a lot of different forms right now. And it's being provided by a lot of landlords themselves. So before the pandemic, we tracked third-party operators and we tracked exponential growth in those operators. And we're really not seeing as much growth at that third-party level right now because so many landlords are providing the space, whether it be true co-working space that meets more the needs of individuals or small businesses, or spaces that meet more that mid-size requirement, which are either fully furnished suites or even pre-built speculative office suites. And the key to any of it is shorter lease terms that create an environment where the tenant themselves has to outlay little to no capital. And what I would say is that that is probably still we see going forward for the minority of portfolio strategies. But for that core that's being solved in the long-term lease market, I would add that landlords are being really a lot more flexible than they ever have before in traditional lease agreements. So what I mean by that is, depending on the fundamentals of their building, the type of tenants they have in their building, the lease expirations, maybe the current vacancy, they are more willing to negotiate highly flexible options into their lease agreement than they ever have before, because it is a tenant's market and they know how much tenants really are craving flexibility, sometimes even over just that price sensitivity of the base rent.
Julie, you mentioned earlier the possible move to a four-day week. Are there other trends or developments that you are expecting to emerge in the office space as you look ahead?
Well, I continue to say that I think the office has a really exciting role to play in the future of how cities are reinvented, because we know that cities are struggling to an extent right now, but I would not count them out. I think that mixed-use districts are the future, as I talked about earlier, and mixed-use districts today are thriving over their counterparts that are probably rooted mostly in office. But what's important to note is that even in mixed-use districts, at the heart of them are usually really great office spaces. And those great office spaces are allowing the occupants of those spaces to be their best selves at both a professional level when they're in the space and on a personal level when they're outside of the space. I think office space is certainly down right now. You cannot say that it's not, but it's not out. And I think it's going to really be in an exciting, transformative phase right now that is going to meet the needs of their evolving tenants, which are ultimately the customers of that space.
Excellent. Julie, thank you so much for checking in with us.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of The REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.